let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma, Stephen and Kristen, proudly sponsored this month by Auckland Council's Creative Community. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. Tonight, we are joined in studio by three stage productions happening in Tamaki Makaurau shortly. We've got Harlequin Musical Theatre with Alice in Wonderland Jr., Shoreside Theatre's Agatha Christie season of The Stranger, and later in the show, we're joined with Dolphin Theatre and Miss Holmes. But to kick it off, here is a new Kiwi singer from Raglan called Star with When You're Around.
Oh, there rains out, cause there's grey clouds in my bedroom, feeling sorry for myself as I dwell in doubt. You just pull me out, pull me out. Hey, you put a skip in my step, got me feeling my best, and when you say you want me, I'm where my day would be without you by my side, feeling sorry for myself. You can guarantee when it's you and me, I'm alright. Oh, hey, you put a skip in my step, got me feeling my best, and when you say you want.
was Star with When You're Around. Check out the music video, guys, that goes with that. It's got some beautiful scenery and stuff, obviously from around home in Raglan. But do you know how I found her, Kristen?
Tell me.
She's doing quite a lot on Instagram and TikTok at the moment, and she came up and she had like a little intro. Hi, I'm Star, I'm 17 and I'm from Raglan and this is my song. And I was like, I think we need to play that.
100%, because we played Star last week as well.
Oh, did we?
So Star is getting a lot of really
Yay, Star,
great...
we've played you last. There we go. We're pushing you out there, so maybe you should get in touch with us and come online. But hey, we've got no Stephen tonight.
Poor Stephen. Just all the best for him. He has been sick for a bit, and as happy as I am to be here being your sidekick, I also we just want to send out our best because he has been running himself ragged. We saw We Are Tigers last week. It was awesome. I love a good cheerleading anything. And but we were supposed to see the Great Comet and we couldn't because we were both sick. So sending our best to him.
I was so gutted that being away meant I missed Tigers, Comet, and Homegrown, which was Massive Company's show that I really wanted to see.
Oh.
But I have to say, it was pretty cool being in Queenstown. Yes. And Hadestown went down a treat down there. So that was really cool. But I think that we should get into talking to our amazing guests in the studio tonight, who are coming from opposite sides of Tamaki Makaurau, really. We've got all the way from the North Shore, hailing from Shoreside Theatre Company with Agatha Christie's The Stranger, Kate and Jason. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thanks for having us.
Kia ora.
And then from East Auckland, from Harlequin Musical Theatre, we've got Ethan.
Kia ora.
And Scarlett and Raya.
Hi.
Yay. And as you can hear, Scarlett and Raya are a little bit younger than the other ones in the studio, and that's because they're doing a Broadway Junior production. Ethan, tell us what the show is.
We are doing Alice in Wonderland Junior, which is very exciting. Our first junior show at Harlequin in, I believe, around 9 years, so a very exciting time for us.
Cool. And tell us, Scarlett, tell us, is it the typical Alice in Wonderland story?
Yeah, it's pretty much the normal thing, but with a little bit of a musical theatre twist.
Okay, so Raya, when we say a musical theatre twist, what might the audience expect?
Well, pretty much every character has their own, like, solo song, and it's really entertaining to watch and be a part of everything.
Very cool. Now tell us, girls, who do you play?
Alice.
So we've got two Alices in the house, and not little Alice, middle Alice, adult, big Alice, the actual Alices. Yeah?
Yeah, so we are both in different casts.
Right. So that's how it works. So there's a double cast. Okay, cool. And what's it like having someone else playing the same character as you, right?
It's very, like, interesting because I get to, like, experience what Scarlett does and copy kind of see how the different styles she uses and how she sings and how she acts, and I get to, like, take inspiration from that.
Cool. And do you take inspiration from Raya Scarlett?
100%. I think it's really cool having someone who does the lines different from you so that you can see how they're doing it and maybe take inspiration.
Very cool. Ethan, what's it like having a double cast?
Oh, it's been awesome. We were so lucky with the talent that walked through the door, and all the kids, they all bring their own twist to all the characters, which I think a show like Alice in Wonderland, there's so much room to play around with the characters and the personalities that you bring to them. So I think it's been so cool to see how they all play the different characters. Right. And just the support of each other in the rehearsal room, I think has been awesome to see as well.
So cool. Now, Agatha Christie. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get the answer to the question who done it tonight because we don't want to spoil it. Like, obviously, people coming along need to work it out for themselves, right? Because that's how Agatha Christie works. Someone dies and the detective has to sort it out. Is that right?
Not this time, Emma. So we've been billing this as a psychological thriller to try and differentiate it from the type of Agatha Christie story that you're talking about. So this is a very early play written by Agatha, and it's not quite, although it's got some things in common with your usual murder mystery, it's more of a psychological thriller. So that's what we've been putting on the poster so that people don't come along expecting.
Right. You know, so we're not expecting. See, I grew up on Murder, She Wrote. You know, good old, what's her name? Who's that?
Jessica someone.
Fletcher. Yeah. And, you know, her solving the mysteries every week. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So who are you playing, Jason?
Well, I'm not. So I'm the understudy for the main character of Gerald.
Okay.
And
as Gerald the butler?
No, Gerald the butler. No, it was a good guess. So Gerald is an interesting character who's a very worldly man who is comes into the life of the main character, the main female character. I'm going to let Kate talk about this now.
But tell me, before Kate does talk about that, playing the understudy, so that means you've got had to go to all the rehearsals and you've got to learn everything. Do you get a show?
No, I don't.
Unless someone gets sick. Who could be?
Maybe that's the stranger.
Maybe that's
the stranger.
Oh, my goodness. Does that mean you could put... No. Touch wood. We don't want anything to happen to the main lead.
No, we don't. We don't. And Tom, who's playing Gerald, is doing a stupendous job. I went to opening night last night, and the whole cast was fantastic. And I really don't want him to not do the show. Please go on, Tom.
Have you had many run-throughs as Gerald, though, in case you have to go on?
No, I've had none.
Oh! That kind of makes me really scared. But, okay, Tom, I hope you're drinking lots of lemon and ginger if you're listening, and you're getting lots of night's sleep, and you're wearing a scarf every time you leave the theatre. Kate, tell us about your character.
Yes, so I am also the understudy. I am the understudy for Enid Bradshaw. She is the lead female in the play. I guess to give you a little bit about the storyline, the play is based in 1932, starting in London. It's sort of centred around Enid and her life. She has been living with her best friend in a flat, and she's been engaged for the last 7 years. She's getting ready to get married, and then all of a sudden a stranger arrives, and things take a turn, and her life is turned upside down.
Ooh.
So it's a great show. The cast have done an amazing job. They actually opened last night, and it was really awesome going and watching them step out there on the stage.
So we now have to do something to the two main leads.
No. No. Heather, who is our amazing lead, she is absolutely so talented, and it's actually been really awesome just to watch and learn from her.
Mm.
I haven't done theatre in a long time, so it's been a great way to kind of step back into things as an understudy.
Nice. Now, we're going to go back around here. I'm turning myself around in my chair, trying not to fall off it. Ethan.
Yes.
This is your first time directing.
It is my first time directing.
Tell us what it's been like.
Oh, it's been awesome. I've learned so much in the process. Being surrounded by so many amazing other adults at the theatre that I've learned so much from. It's been really good.
What's the biggest challenge been, do you think?
I think probably balancing it with my teaching career, going and working with kids all day, and then going to rehearsal and working with more kids. I think just balancing that has been a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Kate and Jason, I'm assuming you guys have day jobs.
We do, yes.
You do? So how do you find the balance when you're working all day and then you've got to go to the theatre at night?
It's actually been really good. I was saying to Jason just before we came in here that I previously used to work a job where it was rostered, so I had kind of crazy hours, and I didn't have the capacity to do theatre. But now I work like Monday to Friday, 7 till 4. So I've got the evenings and the weekends, and it's quite cool because I work an office job. It's quite cool to go into the theatre in the evenings and just do something totally different to your everyday.
What about you, Jason?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing two jobs. So I've got my regular full-time job, and I'm also a tour guide, and I take tourists around the CBD in Auckland a couple of times a week. And on those days when I do that, I'm doing two things. So I haven't got much time left. So this is why I'm an understudy and not actually in the cast this time around. So, yeah, it's been good.
Tour guiding, though, is basically like acting as well, isn't it?
Yes and no. There's some crossover, but not much, actually.
Okay, fair enough, then. Teaching's definitely like acting, though.
Oh,
you're 100%. On the whole time.
Yeah, always acting at teaching, yeah, always.
And imagine if, as a teacher, you got to work from 7 till 4 and then go home and not do anything.
Yeah, not with this.
No, but I just mean in general as a teacher, you know?
Yeah, yes.
So many people think that teachers are 8 till 3 and then there's nothing more.
No, there's lots of work to be done at home as well.
Yeah. Yes. And you teach babies.
I do. I have the 5-year-olds, year ones. Yes, some of the little ones.
Yeah, nah. I'll just say yeah, nah on that. Girls, what's it like having to be at school? Oh, mind you, you've just come off holidays, right? Yeah. Did you rehearse during the holidays?
Yeah, we rehearsed pretty much the exact same schedule as we would have done with school.
So how does the rehearsal schedule work?
Normally it's every Monday, Thursday and Sunday, but because we have double cast, we normally swap days or watch the other people's rehearsal to try and get some ideas.
Very cool. Very cool. What's your favourite number in the show, Raya?
My favourite number is 100% the Tweedledum and Tweedledee song. It's so much fun to be a part of. It's just absolutely amazing.
Cool. And what about you, Scarlett?
I mean, all the numbers are definitely amazing. I feel like they've definitely got some better ones, but I feel like a really fun one is I'm Late, which is the White Rabbit song. It's just super fun to do.
Cool. Is the choreography hard?
In some of the songs, but yeah, definitely. I feel like it's a step up.
I mean, I know she's in the room, but is it fun to do her choreography?
Yes, 100%. All the choreography is so good. It's really fun.
Cool. And what about the costumes? I mean, you can't do Alice in Wonderland without really funky costumes. Who's doing your costumes, Ethan?
We have Jordan doing our costumes. Yeah, he's been great.
Great. And are we, like, are they kind of what we would expect from Alice in Wonderland, or is there a twist to it, or what do you reckon?
I think they're pretty much what you can expect. They're very, like, cool, I would say. Yeah.
What makes something cool?
I think that they're just, well, I'm kind of biased. I love the Tweedles, and I think their costume's my favourite. It's just amazing. Like,
Is it one of the ones with the hula hoop in it? To yep. make them look, yeah, cool. Very cool. Well, I can't wait to see it. But we're going to take a quick musical break, and guess what? I found a song that I kind of went, oh, that's appropriate. So Emma Lentino has just launched a new single called Rabbit Hole. And hopefully it will play. There we go.
She waits for you, her moonlight draws you in. You don't know where she stops and you begin. Lovely story when love's all the glory. Deception's kind of your new wind. Your belly's full of a lie. She said, you
And that was Emmy, not Emma. I'm Emma. She's Emmy with Rabbit Hole. Now, I hear that there's a connection here.
Yes, so what are the chances? Emmy actually is one of our amazing cast members. She plays Doris West, which is the best friend of Enid. They're flatting together, and she's been doing an amazing job and also creating amazing music. So,
very and that's funny because I had no idea that she was in the show.
That is funny, and the tie as well to Alice in Wonderland.
Wonderland and the fact that it's Rabbit Hole. Yeah, so there you go, Emmy. Shout out to you. Now, let's talk about your arts journey. So, Ethan, where did performing start for you?
I think it started in high school when I picked up drama as a subject. And my cousin Raquel, she started at Harlequin, and they needed a backstage crew member one time when I was like 12. And I said, yeah, I'll do it just this one time. I'll go help backstage. And I did. And then somehow from there I got roped into it all, and here I am. Yeah.
Cool. And what's it been like instead of being on stage? I mean, I know you've done backstage, but being at the top there sitting directing.
It's been good. It's been a challenge. It's been good to push myself and to get out there and have a go at a more creative role in the musical theatre scene. So it's been really good to push myself. Yeah.
Very cool. And do you have a preference, do you think? Like, is it still a burning passion to be on stage, or are you quite enjoying being out the front?
I'm quite enjoying directing. I think I've done quite a good job, and I think I'm loving it. So I'm keen to continue it. Yeah.
Fabulous. Okay, let's go down the row. Scarlett, how many shows have you done before?
Golly, I've done Shrek Junior. I've done Dare to Dream Junior. I've done The Little Mermaid, and now I've done Alice in Wonderland. So four.
Very cool. And do you get to do anything musical at your school?
Yeah, so I go to McLean's, and they have a very big drama department there. So, yeah, I will definitely be doing the school musical next year, but sadly I could not this year because of Alice in Wonderland timing, but, yeah.
Is it something that you think you'll take as a subject?
100%. I think drama's definitely a big passion of mine, so I think I'll continue to do that.
Very, very cool. Raya, tell us about your journey. How many shows have you done?
Okay, so I've been doing theatre since I was about 8 years old. So I've done, I'd say, around 10 shows, maybe. This is definitely one of my favourites I've ever been in, which is really exciting.
And have they all been musicals?
No, majority of them have just been regular stage shows. I think I've done about 3 musicals.
Cool. And is singing something that you do outside of a show like this? Like, are you around the house singing in the shower really loud?
Yes, 100%.
Into your hairbrush?
I love singing. So that's why I'm like so excited to be in a musical, because I love acting and I love singing, and just putting them together is so much fun.
Very cool. Okay, we're going to move down the line to Jason. Where did it kick off for you?
Well, I was probably 11 years old, and we did a musical at school, and I can't sing, but I can act, so that's where it started. And I've done so many shows since, I can't even count. But more relevantly, this is the 4th Agatha Christie I've been involved with. So,
all with Shoreside?
All with Shoreside, yeah. So I was in the very first Agatha Christie they did, which was And Then There Were None. And then I did The Unexpected Guest a few years ago, which I really, really enjoyed. And, I also did The Rats, and now this one, so.
Does Shoreside, because they do an Agatha Christie every year, just out of interest, do they have a bit of a following, like people that kind of, a bit of a cult show up every single Agatha Christie?
Yeah, I'm sure they're the same faces in the audience every year, but the Agatha Christie is so popular that it sells out every year.
Tell us about it. Someone down the end of the table here has been trying to get a ticket.
So all the matinees are sold out. The early shows sold out. I can't even sit with my friend on Friday. So and that's great, because it means that there is a huge following, because I saw The Unexpected Guest and it was awesome. So we're really excited to see it again. And yeah, if you want tickets, anybody who's listening, get them now.
Oh, there you go. All right. And
Okay, tell us about your journey.
Yeah, so as I said, this is actually my first time in theatre in a while. I have done quite a few shows in the past, but not since about 2020.
The year.
Yes.
The year.
Exactly.
The year we don't talk about.
But yeah, I loved drama in high school. In year 13, we did Bugsy Malone and I was Blousy. That was really fun.
How cute.
Yeah, and I think that really... all my love for drama in high school made me actually want to go and study it. So I did a performance and screen arts degree at Unitech for 3 years, which was amazing. Best time of my life. And yeah, then unfortunately I graduated, COVID hit, started working, and then, yeah, just haven't gotten back into the theatre. So this is my first time with Shoreside Theatre, and understudying has been a great way for me to step back into things.
Very cool. Now, we've got a couple of traditional kick-ass questions that we ask. Now, if a director was to, or producer was to walk through the door, Kate and Jason, and say, I want you to play, who would it be that would make you jump up and run out the door and go, yes, yes, that's me? It might be screen, it might be stage, but is there a role that you would really love to play?
I think I would love to be in Little Woman. Such a classic.
The play or the musical?
Yeah, the play. I mean, the musical would be amazing as well.
The musical's my dream. Yeah.
So I would love to be in that play. I mean, obviously Joe is an incredible character, but any of the girls in that play I would love to do.
Very cool. I can see Jason's racking his brain. Oh, he's found one. I can tell by that smile.
So, I'd like to play Hamlet, but that ship has probably sailed. I'm really keen to do The Taming of the Shrew and Petruchio.
Yeah. So, a Shakespeare fan as well as an Agatha Christie
fan?
Yeah,
that's me. Yeah. I lay down to a T. Yeah, Shakespeare and Agatha. Yeah.
And so, have you done Shoreside Shakespeare's as well?
Yeah, lots and lots of Shakespeare.
Very cool. I love Shoreside Shakespeare's. They're so cool. Ethan, if someone walked through the door now, a theatre company, and said, we want you to direct something, what show would it...
Direct something.
Yeah, direct it. Not be in it, but direct it. It could be any show at all. What show would you hope that they said you could direct?
Oh, it's definitely going to be Hadestown. It's my favourite. Definitely Hadestown.
Okay. Cool. Girls, have you got dream roles?
100%.
Okay, tell us, what is it?
I would love to be in Addams Family, one of my favourite movies ever. I saw it recently. It was phenomenal.
Yeah? And what role, Morticia or Wednesday?
Probably Morticia. She's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool, yeah, she is. And she's got some good songs. Scarlett?
Well, I've always wanted to play Alice, so I can check that off my bucket list.
That's cool.
But I feel like 100% Rapunzel has always been like my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, why is there not a Rapunzel musical? I don't understand. Disney, are you listening? These kids want Rapunzel.
She's amazing. She would definitely be one of mine. Or Little Mermaid. I've done Little Mermaid, but I would love to be Ariel. She's just amazing, and her songs are just amazing.
So you're Disney's kind of 100%. Where it's at.
I've been a Disney kid. I used to have a Disney-themed nursery as a kid. So I think I kind of...
So we need to blame your parents?
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Now, last question, because we're almost... Oh, no, we've still got a few minutes. As people that have performed a little bit longer, if you had a piece of advice for these younger kids sitting here about acting or maybe something, you know, what would... your piece of advice be that you think they need to know? Oh, look, Jason's shaking his head going, oh my God, that's a horrible question.
That is a really tough question. I don't know, because it's such a struggle to find professional work here in Auckland. And really, I think that's what we all want, and I'm sure. So I don't know what advice to really give you.
What about something as an actor in the process or something like that, or working with a director? Is there anything that you think that you've learned over the years that these guys might need to or should know?
I guess the main thing would be to just not be afraid to be yourself, but also just put everything out there. I think it's easy to fear what other people are going to think of how you're portraying a character, but make some bold choices. And also another thing that I always try and remember is it's also about listening to what the other character is telling you in the moment, not just about what you have to say. I think some of the best scenes are when you can see that the characters are actually having a conversation, hearing what the other person is saying, taking it in and responding.
Very nice. Would you agree with that, Ethan?
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Did you come up with anything else, Jason?
No, I really didn't.
That's all right. You don't have to have. You don't have to have. Is there anything that you've learned through? I mean, is this your, for both of you, is this your first show with Harlequin?
For me, yes. Yeah, I think for me as well.
Okay. Is there anything that you've learned through this journey that you think you'll take forward into your next show? Maybe from Mackenzie, or who's the musical director, or from Alia, or from Ethan? Is there anything that you've learned? Or
not that I can put into words, but being in Alice has, like, helped me sing so much. My vocal range has gone so much better. I've been doing so much better since I joined Harlequin, done Alice.
Cool. Okay. Do you think that's just because you're singing more regularly, like, purposefully singing, not just singing along to the radio?
I think Kenzie's been a huge help. Yeah, just the vocal lessons have been amazing.
Great. Scarlett, anything you've learnt?
I've danced and sung since I was like 5, but I've never really done dance. So I think working with Alia and especially Ethan as well with my acting, because my acting and my dancing is definitely my weakest points, which is like the whole point of musical theatre. But I definitely think I've improved so much from my last show to this show, and acting and really being in the moment and feeling what's on the stage. And the difference between reading a book and actually, like, believing in what you're saying and really becoming the character.
That is so cool. Kate, have you ever dabbled in musicals?
Well, I did Bugsy Malone.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Actually no musicals since then. I would love to get back into it, but I fear my dance skills are not where they need to be. I grew up doing tap dancing, so maybe Singing in the Rain would be cool.
Very but, cool.
Yeah, I would love to do a musical, definitely.
And, I mean, there's some really good character roles in musicals if you're not a strong singer, right?
Yeah, there are. So I've just done my first musical, Tootsie, musical up at
the Centre Stage,
yeah. And I can't sing or dance, so they found a role for me where I didn't have to do that. And it was so much fun, and the cast were amazing. And I'm just in awe of musical performers, you know, musical theatre performers, because they can do what I do, but then they can sing and dance as well, and the work ethic is incredible. So I had a great time in that show.
Very cool. Now, business end then of the interview. We've heard that tickets are selling really fast for Agatha Christie's The Stranger, but where and how can people find out more and maybe try and get some of those last tickets?
So go ahead and Google us, Shoreside Theatre, The Pump House, The Stranger by Agatha Christie. You can get on there and book your tickets online. They are selling fast, so I highly recommend jumping on there. It is, as I've said, an amazing cast. You will have a good time. And there's also some good laughs in there as well, so I can recommend.
Awesome.
I just wanted to add to what Kate said, that we've got two performances that are sign language interpreted. I think it's next week. You have to look online. But, yeah, so I thought that
That's
was pretty cool.
That's very cool. Very cool. And you can also find the ticket link and a little bit of information on the Kick Arts event page as well. Ethan, how can people find out more about coming along to Alice in Wonderland Junior?
Through Harlequin's social medias, Harlequin Theatre, or on iTicket. Our tickets are up at the moment. We open on the 7th of August, so a couple of weeks from now.
Yep. And if we could put the Kick Arts hidden camera in the foyer after a show, what are you hoping people walking out of the theatre are saying?
I hope they come out saying that they had fun. I think that's my biggest goal with a show like this, is that it's fun, it's high energy. So I hope people go out with a bit of a buzz and have fun and reminds them of their childhood is another thing. How people go out and say, it's just like the movies. Yeah.
Fabulous. Anything planned for the rest of the year, girls, with performances? Or are you needing to have a bit of a break and focus on school?
Not at the moment. Just got drama at school to do, which is fun.
I'm never taking a break from theatre.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Well, we wish you all the best for both of your seasons. As you heard, Kristen's coming along to see you, and we're both coming along to see
everything. I think I'm doing a double date with first Alice and then Miss Holmes, so that's going to be a busy day, but then I'm so excited to see The Stranger, because whatever the reel was out that gave like an overview with all the characters, it looks amazing. So if anybody else needs to be convinced, go find your whatever the video was, because I was like, I gotta go see this. It looks so compelling.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in on a Sunday night, and especially, I mean, I know your show's opened, but, you know, understudies. Yay! I hope you get an opportunity. I actually would love for you to message us if you're on, and we can encourage people to come and support you on your nights. And all the best to you guys. I know that it's been a long day, and you've got to get up for school in the morning. But we're now going to play our next track, which is from Cindy, and it's Sunsets Don't Excite Me. And that was Cindy with Don't Excite Me. Well, that was a very full studio we had there. Now, great to know what shows are happening. And we've got a few gaps coming up. We're quite busy, but in August we do have a few interview slots. So do make sure you get in touch with us at info@kickarts.org.nz and let us know what you've got coming up, and so that we can book you in. And we've got our events page, which we would love to share your events on as another way of people finding out what you've got on. So again, send us an email. And as you know, we try to focus predominantly on Kiwi music. We play other music as well, but we would love to know if maybe you've got that neighbour that keeps you awake because their band's practicing in the garage. Let us know. Or if your child's playing music at school and maybe has been doing Rock Quest or anything like that, let us know so that we can get them on the show. And then we can play, or at least come on, let us know so we can play their music. Now, I've got new guests walking into the studio. I'd left them out in the cold because I didn't see the message on the door. The joy of being in the hot seat. So, joining us from the Dolphin Theatre, Miss Holmes, we've got Jess and Lindsay. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora, hello.
So, the show hasn't started yet, has it?
No.
It's got a week to go? 2 weeks?
It opens on the 7th.
It opens on the 7th. Now, tell us, what are your roles in the show?
Well, I'm Dr. Watson.
Oh, okay.
And I play Sherlock Holmes.
Wow, so it's a full feminist twist?
Yep, very much so, yep.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about one of you. Tell us a little bit about the story.
I come in and I kind of get bamboozled, actually, by Sherlock Holmes a bit. Just dragged along for the ride. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the few female doctors in London, in the London School of Medicine for Women.
Wow, okay. And tell us, is it what we would expect from a Sherlock Holmes? Like, is it a...
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. It's got all the hallmarks of a traditional Holmes story in terms of murder mystery, a whodunit, lots of kind of enemies and people like that come in and do twists and turns, etc. So, yeah, I would definitely say it's very much a traditional Holmes story for sure.
And is it a full-length play, like Act 1 and Act 2, or a one-act, yeah?
Yes, yeah, yep, yep, full. I think it's 2.5 hours, if...
With interval?
With interval, yeah. Yeah. So it's a full show.
Great. Now, this is not your first times on stage, though, is it?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. Is this your first time with Sherlock Holmes, though? Or a murder kind of... A mystery detective...
It is for me. Is it for you?
No, I've been in a whodunit before.
Ah.
But this is my first time being one of the investigators and solving the mystery.
Interesting.
I was one of the victims last time.
Oh. Hopefully not the first one to die, that kind of...
I might have been the only one to die.
Oh! So, because it is Sherlock Holmes, has there had to be much research playing such an iconic role?
Yes and no. I've tried to stay away from kind of watching the traditional like Benedict Cumberbatches or the Robert Downey Juniors because I don't want to necessarily be influenced by how they've done it, especially because they are men portraying Sherlock, and obviously I'm a woman portraying Sherlock, but definitely into the traditions of Arthur Conan Doyle and how he writes about the books and how he writes about Sherlock, for example. I've definitely done some kind of reading up on it. I tried to read the first book. It didn't go very well. because there's also so much to learn and so much to think about that I also didn't want that to kind of compound everything. But yeah, trying to not be influenced too much by the male side of things and definitely creating my own kind of feminine version of Sherlock. But definitely enough so that it's very much, it's definitely a Sherlock Holmes show, if that makes sense.
So what, when we're thinking about the feminine version of Sherlock, how does it change Sherlock as a character to be a woman?
Yeah, it's a good question. For me, it's warmth. So that was one of the things, even in the audition and practicing for the audition and creating the character around it, it's having the warmth in her belly that is the fire that, engines her and kind of puts her into her escapades, much to the annoyance of Watson. But it's definitely that warmth and curiosity that comes from having that kind of feminine energy compared to, say, a male Sherlock, for example.
Okay. And now Watson gets played in various ways, because quite often he is kind of the sidekick, right?
The sidekick, the classic sidekick.
Yeah. And I can't, I also am thinking like, Tintin and those kind of the sidekick in there. So what's it like playing a female Watson?
It is brilliant. And there has been some research on my side as well. And it's interesting because it is a period piece and it is set in Victorian times. One of the other characters is playing the first woman to receive a medical license in all of Great Britain. So having that feeling of being one of the few female doctors and sort of the lack of respect and understanding the female patients much more as well has been really nice to come to.
Because it is a period piece as well, like you said, first doctor. I mean, women in that time kind of were meant to be submissive and kind of just the housewife.
They run the house.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's quite a feminist statement in itself to suddenly have a profession.
Mm. And to choose to have that profession and and stick at it and not just go for the norm that, you know, most women of the time would be going for.
There's definitely a strand of both of that within, I think, both of our characters and the way that we kind of unpick that throughout the show as well. Like, obviously, Watson is one of the first female doctors in Britain. We have Dr. Elizabeth Garrett Anderson, who is a genuine person and a real life person who was, I think, one of the first women surgeons or one of the first women doctors.
Yeah.
Or at least a hospital kind of owner anyway. And then Sherlock is not believed with her kind of theories or her investigations and is very much told, like, stop doing your silly little games, etc., and isn't taken seriously because of the fact that she's a woman. So having those kind of threads on top of the work that we're trying to do makes for a really interesting mix, I think.
Very cool. Now, who's your director?
Jackie Moran.
Cool. And have you, either of you, worked with her before? No?
No, this is my first time.
I worked with her. I was on An Ideal Husband last year, and she was our prompt. So I worked kind of laterally with her. Yeah, but she's been great.
Great. Mm-hmm. And what's her style been? Has she kind of shown me what you think your character would do, or is she a bit more instructive?
It's 100% a safe place to just bring ideas to, which has been amazing, and something that I've not necessarily experienced a lot in community theatre. When we started the process, instead of just fumbling with our scripts and just trying to start blocking straight away, she actually sat us down and we were asked poignant questions about our characters, about our past, and we kind of built the world first, which was incredibly useful to do, and we all really appreciated that a lot.
Definitely, yeah.
Cool. And that's, I mean, it's good to hear that those kind of, you know, and I suppose working with different directors, you find what styles you best connect to as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So what's been the biggest challenge for you in this production to date, apart from playing a female in a male-heavy period piece?
Oh, good question. I mean, on top of just an entire show to learn, I'm on stage a lot. There are a lot of words to learn. And there's, you know, fight scenes and choreography and a lot of running around the back. So it's a very physical show. But for me, I think it's the toughest challenge has been the pressure of making sure that you do such an iconic literary, albeit fictional, character justice. Because again, it's going to be scrutinized by hardcore Sherlock fans, especially when, you know, you're bringing a feminine twist to it as well. That's going to be scrutinized as well. So I think for me, it's the pressure, I wouldn't say a pressure at all, but it's definitely something to be mindful of, that it's such an iconic character, and how do I make sure that I do the kind of lore of it all, how do I do it justice?
I've got to ask, do you wear the iconic hat?
That would be spoilers.
Oh.
You have to come see the show to find out.
There you go. Biggest challenge for you?
I find that question really hard to answer.
That's all right.
I think mostly just the acting side of it, and the technique and knowing my foibles and watching out for them.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I think when it comes to learning the character and the lines and all of that, that I build into that slowly, and that's something that I love about doing theatre. So I really don't know.
She's such a professional. She doesn't find it challenging at all.
So do you both have, I asked the last two people that were here from Shoreside about how they find the challenge of having a day job and then rehearsing at night. Do both of you have day jobs.
Very
indeed.
Much so.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
So how do you manage the routine or the process of working all day and then coming to theatre and having to focus in for that amount of time?
On rehearsal days during the week, I don't actually go home. There's a free gym in my business park. So I will go there and I will kill 40 minutes and I will do some time on the treadmill. And I'm usually thinking about the play most of the time. So I'll go and do that and then I'll shower and then I'll freshen up and I'll feel like I've come in fresh rather than having sat at a desk all day.
Mm. Nice. So just that transition.
Yeah.
What tricks do you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. It's very tricky, especially because my job is in tech and digital, and it's very different to the world of Sherlock and the Victorian 1800s. So for me, it's in the car. I've sometimes listened to some songs that I might associate with Sherlock, or just run over the lines, or do some kind of breath exercises or something like that, and be very mindful about the space that I'm about to enter into is very different to the space that I've just come from. And so having that kind of delineation between the two definitely helps to get into the mindset of it.
Mm. And are you a get to the theatre early so that you've got that time to slowly transition into your characters?
Absolutely. I have to be there early.
Yeah.
Get in, put the kettle on. Just I like to exist in the space as well, just because it's a creative space. It's just one of my favourite places to be, really.
Mm. I don't think I realised the importance of it until this. Not that I didn't do it for other shows, but I think because this is such a big role and there's so much to learn and it's truly embodying the character rather than just coming and repeating some lines, that I'm definitely taking a leaf out of Lindsay's book and turning up earlier and earlier. In fact, I beat you to it today.
You did?
Yeah, which is rare. So definitely kind of, as you say, like getting warm into the space. I really like sometimes to take a minute by myself to be on stage on my own and look out and, you know, Sherlock's going to be here in a minute. And, you know, as I say, have those mantras that get me into the character and take up that space.
Which is so cool for any younger people that are listening. I mean, we just had two younger ones here from Alice in Wonderland, you know, and I think for so many kids, like I think of myself as a youth performer, I didn't think about things like that probably until after performing art school, that I kind of went, yeah, you do actually need to, even in rehearsals, give yourself that time, that space to actually not just say the lines.
I even had it the other day. We had a big Sunday rehearsal and we were just about to go into act two. And I open act two, the curtains go up, I open act two, but 2 seconds earlier I just rushed to throw my apple core in the bin and I felt really like that was Jess doing that and not Sherlock, and it felt, you know, the first couple of lines, it took me a minute to kind of get back into I'm on stage, I'm performing, I'm being Sherlock right now, not just Jess that's just had her lunch type thing. So it's very, very, very important, especially in a show like this.
What's the accents? What's happening in the show with accents?
mostly British.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Mostly. I've obviously got a British accent already. I just ham it up. I just go very, very posh, very Bridgerton-esque. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone's British, aren't they?
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just what you'd expect to find in London in the 1800s.
It's always interesting, though, isn't it, in community theatre in a different country. We're here in New Zealand, and some people just can't do accents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something for us to... We'll find out. Watch this space.
Mrs. Hudson has a lovely Yorkshire accent, which I think adds to the play very much so. So
naturally has a Yorkshire accent or has learned one?
But her family is. So it comes very naturally to her. So she's got a wonderful, wonderful Yorkshire accent that she always talks about. Cups of tea.
And I suppose that's the thing too, part of that research, because not everyone has the same dialect and comes from the same place. Like, yes, you're all in the same place, but it doesn't mean you hail from the same place. So there would be variances.
Also, in the 1800s in London, there was very much a class system as well, which definitely impacted how you spoke.
Yeah. It's nice, though, that you've got the meatiness of, I mean, I think that's what's cool about period pieces and that, because there is actually history to research and things to hang it on. And things like Bridgerton actually has brought back to the fore that kind of period, and people, because, again, you do pieces like this with students and they have no idea about, a lot of them don't even know about the class system, because I don't know whether those are things that get taught in history classes anymore.
Perhaps, especially not in New Zealand, I don't think they learn about the British class system necessarily.
I don't think we really did. I remember doing a play when I was like in year six or something like that, and that was very much about the haves and have nots of Victorian London, but that's very particular to my education, I think, rather than, as you say, what you'd find here.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick music break, and our friend Nathan Fry has bought out a new single. So this is Nathan. Oh, I've just a minute, put it back to the start of the song. It's gone right through to the end. So here is Nathan with Damage.
You started the shit, what's that for? Now I wanna know why you're passing the blame if it's your fault. You need to let it go. You say it's cold outside, but I know you're just cold at heart. It's a mess already falling like a house of cards. You brought me down, down, down. Not gonna give you any left to fix, nothing at all. I guess I'm moving on. All we had now is gone. So uncomfortable, and no more lies so begging to be done. It's over now. The cards are on the ground, there's no more to be thought about. You brought me down, down, down. Not gonna give you any more.
Was Nathan Fry with Damage. Check him out on YouTube or Spotify or wherever you check out music, really. But young up and coming, you know, year 13 at Takapuna Grammar, and such an amazing sound and doing a bit. He was one of the openers for Borderline recently, for any of you that were following good old Borderline in their tour.
They have some great younger artists. I've seen some of the bands. I think one out of Takapuna Grammar School at local festivals. So they're really great up and comers, and I love, Emma, that you always find some, and then I'm hoping that you add them to the Kiwi Hatchling. Is it the Kiwi Hatchling?
Well, it's not me. That is such a cool site. So, yeah, most of the music we play of Kiwi music we get from Kiwi Hatchlings, which is a playlist on Spotify. Whoever does that upload on a Friday new tracks, because that's when we found out a few months ago that that's when most new music gets released, on a Friday.
Oh.
And you can actually see, if you can't see it on your phone, but if you go on a new computer, you can see 4 days ago, 1 week ago, 1 month ago, and you can see all the latest Kiwi music that's been dropped. And it's so cool to be able to actually go, who are they, and touch on it and go, oh, that's a sound I haven't heard before.
Yeah, there's a lot of great, I went and saw Music in the Parks, and I went for the main band, but all the two acts that came beforehand were younger artists. So I love that when I go to big shows, like when I go to Crowded House or go to, you know, whatever, they have the Kiwi artists that are a little bit older. But then when we go to some of those local ones, they're bringing the young ones in right away. And so, yeah. Awesome.
Well, everyone's got to start somewhere. So how's that for a segue? So we're going to talk some more with Jess and Lindsay about your arts journey. So where did it start for you?
Well, it's been a bit of an odd one. So I, back in the day, used to do a lot of community theatre, and it was very much on the fringe. This was back home in the UK, and this is when I was kind of like 16, 17, but very much backstage, very much producing, very much assistant directing. I even ventured into costume at one point, and I worked for an arts trust that was basically giving grants to a load of kind of theatre and music and kind of film productions, etc. I then went to university and studied arts management. So again, very much backstage, very much learnt how to run theatres, put productions on, the kind of business side of things, and didn't act at all, as I say, apart from my one foray into that Year 7 Victorian show, but very much didn't act and was very much behind the scenes. And then after that, I kind of lost touch with the creative community and lost touch with kind of doing anything musical or doing anything acty or theatre. Very much enjoyed going to gigs and concerts and shows, etc. But very much just found a way out of it, kind of thing. And not for any reason, just, you know, just happened to fall out of love with it. And then at the beginning of last year, I went through a whole thing of, what brings me joy? What brings me, what brings me kind of joy and fulfillment, and what is missing from life, type thing? And then I realized it was theatre and music. And so at the beginning of last year, as my New Year's resolutions, I joined a choir, started learning piano and bass.
Oh, wow.
And auditioned for a play, because I was like, I'm going to try being on stage this time rather than being backstage. And that was An Ideal Husband last year at the Dolphin as well. And that was my first ever acting show. Managed somehow to get one of the lead roles in that, playing the wife of the ideal husband. And yeah, ended up catching the bug. And I was like, this is amazing. I love the thrill of it. I love the community of it. I love the kind of habitual process of learning lines and being there every Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. And then after that, I was like, I'm going to try my hand at Shakespeare. And then I got a role in Romeo and Juliet. And then after that, I was like, I'm going to carry on doing it. And so, yeah, I did Shakespeare in the summer. I did Hauk Little Plays in March. And yeah, I have Sherlock Holmes now. So this is only my fourth ever show.
Wow.
And yeah.
And are you still doing the choir?
Yes, very, very much so, yes. I can't do it at the moment because rehearsals for choir on a Tuesday, and so are Miss Holmes' rehearsals. So I haven't been at choir in ages, but I've been listening to what they've been up to whilst I've been away, and it sounds phenomenal. So, and there's an end-of-year gig that we always prep for at this time of year. So, yeah, I miss them, but very much kind of keep in touch with them outside of choir, and as I say, very much listening to them whilst I'm away as well.
Fantastic. Wow. Only fourth play and you're playing such a huge role. That's crazy.
It's a bit mad. I still can't believe it. It's a bit mad.
Yeah. Lindsay, where did it start for you?
When I was a kid, I either wanted to be an actor or I wanted to be an air hostess.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I didn't know that. But then...
Was it the dressing up and walking up and down the aisle?
Just so fancy. When you're a child, these women are just so elegant and fancy, and I wanted to be one.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah.
But then... through high school, I was kind of told, no, you've got to get a real job and earn real money, and you've got to go to university and get a degree for that.
Were you told that by your teachers or your parents or both?
Teachers, deans. I wish I had listened to my mother more. I didn't do well at school. I've realised now that I'm autistic and probably had other learning difficulties, but back then I listened to everyone else, and then I didn't get bursary, so I couldn't go to university. So I just started working. But I need a creative outlet or I go crazy. but it wasn't until I was 24 and flatting, and I ended up flatting with some film students, and I was like, hang on, these people are studying what it is they want to do with their lives and getting jobs in the industry they want to be in. Why did everyone tell me that I could not do that? And so I ended up quitting my job, moving to Wellington, going to performing arts school, and haven't so far managed to translate that into a full-time paid acting career. But I have my side hustle as well, where I perform in the summer. So I do stilt walking, fire dancing, face painting, balloon animals. Because if I'm not doing something creative with my time, then, yeah, I'll go mad. And so because summer is so busy with events and festivals and birthday parties, Christmas parades, acting in theatre is really a winter pastime. I can usually only do one or two plays a year because summer just gets crazy. I can't commit to a season.
Well, stilt working is definitely a way to keep you going.
I've been booked for some of the Christmas parades already. They get in early.
Wow.
A lot of the costume pieces that we use is from Lindsay's own wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm wearing all my own clothes.
Yeah. Sometimes we have rehearsals and she'll just come in with this gorgeous, like, corseted, like, top or just something sparkly or something. And I'll be like, wow, where'd you get that from? And she's like, I just found it. it in my wardrobe.
I've been a performer a long time, and because I have my, like, side business where I have to dress other people for events as well. So I'll often have, like, four of the same dress in different sizes, because often when I'm getting booked for a gig, it's not just me, they want two. So I have a whole bedroom that's just clothes and equipment.
Do you keep adding to your repertoire? Like, now I'm going to do stilts, now balloon animals, I'm going to do hoop. Like, do you just now?
Yeah, I do belly dancing now as well.
Oh, those costumes in the last must be 2 years. Great.
Yeah, I have to make all, I'm plus size. And it's very difficult, especially in this country, to get belly dancing costumes in general. So to get plus size ones, I have to make all my own outfits if I'm going to perform.
Incredible. And a sewer as well.
I can just barely.
Look, you can always just be friends with a glue gun. Now, tell me, what are the costumes like being a period piece?
So we had our very first costume kind of run today.
Yeah, full costume run today.
Yeah, which brought it to life so much more than you know, just kind of rehearsing in your trackies or, you know, T-shirts, whatever. We're trying to stay as accurate as possible. If you are a kind of steadfast costume historian, you know, maybe you might not see all the technical details, but they very much look of the time. Mm-hmm. So lots of kind of ruffled skirts and, you know, like big collars, like frilly collars, and all the men are in very dapper suits, very dapper waistcoats.
Cravats,
lots of pocket watches.
Top hats, I love that you use the word dapper.
Yes.
It's like part of me kind of went, oh, that's right, you're from England, but I also went, you're working in a period drama, and that's such a...
All the gentlemen look very dapper.
Yeah. It's not a word that you hear used very much in these days, is it?
Yeah. And we look good. I thought
yeah,
today went
we
really
do.
Well.
Yeah.
And everything's coming together.
Do you have multiple changes, or does Sherlock pretty much stay in the same?
No, I found out today I do.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very quick changes as well, where I'm running around the back and I have to very quickly put something on. Yeah, I've got a whole myriad of costumes because I'm in several different locations across several different days. So everything ranging from, I don't know how much I can spoil, but Everything ranging from some kind of hospital gown, let me say, through to an at-home kind of just relaxing, you know, not expecting visitors, through to I'm expecting visitors and I'm expecting to investigate today, so I'm going to put my best slacks on type thing. And everything in between, really.
How exciting.
No belly dancing?
Not for this one, no. That's part two.
Other side of the world.
Yeah. Now, you've just said, Lindsay, that you've, you know, you've only got said time during the year that you can do things, but have either of you got anything lined up? I mean, we're only in July going into August. Have we got anything lined up further down the track for this year?
I was considering auditioning for the next show that's at the Dolphin, the Magpie's Call. But yeah, I don't tend to audition for anything that's going to be October, like at end of October onwards, because that's when my season, after Halloween, that's when the seasons start to pick up for me. So I can, if the season finishes before the end of October, I'm generally fine. Nice. So I haven't really lined anything up for the end of the year.
What about you? Is there anything on the radar that you're going, oh?
Firstly, a big sleep, because I think this is going to be a very physical show, which is fantastic and great. I've got 2 weeks off work, so hopefully energy levels won't be too bad. But after that, maybe a couple of months break, and then I'm hoping to see what shows are announced for Shakespeare in the Park. I love Shakespeare, and obviously the accent helps as well. But I'd very much, yeah, I loved performing a Romeo and Juliet last year. Or earlier this year, because it's outside in the amphitheatre, and it's all very, you know, back to basics kind of thing. Just performing on a stage in front of rows of people, etc., outside, come rain or shine sometimes. So, yeah, hopefully a little break after this, and then hopefully something Shakespearean.
Very cool. Now, tell me, if someone was to walk through the door right now, a famous producer, director, and said, have I got the role for you? What role would it be that would make you run really fast towards that door and drop everything?
Oh, that's a very good question.
It's harder because I've asked you first. I can see Lindsay.
Yeah, you've got time to think.
I have no idea. I'm so glad I have this time. Yeah.
The one that immediately sprung to mind is Hedda Gabler, I think it is, by Ibsen.
Mm-hmm.
She's been referred to as like the female Hamlet, so it's obviously very Shakespearean kind of, you know, akin. And I saw the National Theatre at Home do with Ruth Wilson and Rafe, I think, I can't remember his name, but it was a fantastic version of it, and the nuance and the kind of depth of the character that Ruth brought to Hedda was phenomenal. And I think it's a very complex character, it's a very divisive character. Is she kind of a victim, or is she a monster type thing? And I think to be able to play, again, my version of that iconic character would be quite cool. Although I have heard that apparently it does make you go a bit doolally when you play that character. So, you know, you'd have to put things in place. But, yeah, I think she's very interesting. So I think her.
I think any Ibsens would be quite cool. Like, I could see you in The Seagull as well.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
I really have. Oh,
nothing's come to mind.
Nothing's come to mind. I kind of, I'll be honest, I if something comes in at the right time and with the right people, I'll clutch at it.
Mm-hmm.
But
even with all your festivals and your side hustles and everything, if they came through the door, if Creative New Zealand came through the door with an open check, what would you want to do?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
All together. Take it all on the road.
Yeah, create your own festival.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would probably collaborate, honestly, with some of my circus kin. There have, particularly one of my friends in Wellington, Eli, we've done sort of burlesque circus-esque shows that have been themed. One of them was Zomburlesque, and we ended up opening for the Dunedin Fringe Festival 1 year. Got invited from Wellington to go down and do that. So I'd probably end up collaborating with some of those people to try and take something on tour. Yeah.
Very cool.
What about Holmes and Watson runs a circus?
The chaos.
Yeah.
The sheer chaos.
And you might have to put you in a different period, because I don't know, doing circus in Victorian clothes could be an interesting thing to have to do.
So true. Yeah.
It might be like a slacks.
Or like a Barnum and Bailey kind of a thing, right? Like you do your own greatest show.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Come Alive. Like Come Alive as a musical would probably be something great for you. Like, because that is the circus version of The Greatest Showman that's currently touring Australia.
Oh,
you know,
right.
And it's got all the circus acts in it, plus all the beautiful music and everything. Yeah. Very cool. So, business end then. How do people find out about the show? Where do you go to get tickets? Is Dolphin doing their traditional Tuesday treats?
Oh, absolutely. They are indeed, yes.
So for our listeners that have been sleeping under a rock and have never heard an interview with Dolphin Theatre, and we do a lot of them because they do six shows a year, what is Tuesday treats?
Tuesday treats is for your ticket price, you get to come to the show. And then at halftime, you have a voucher for an ice cream and a drink of your choice at the bar.
Yay! We love Tuesday treats.
And so delicious, let me tell you. The trumpets are amazing. The bubbles are effervescent. And the tea is quite charming.
Yeah, I love the tea and biscuits. It's not many community theatres you go to now, and there's still tea and coffee and biscuits at halftime. I love that. Yeah. I think it's gorgeous.
And get to sit in the ambiance, right? Because it's always decorated. The foyer is always decorated. So you get to sit at the tables and kind of pretend you're in the play during the break.
There's often, along with that, there's often information on the different characters. And there might be, I think I might encourage them, I might even do it myself, some of the real historical people that are in the play.
That would be really cool.
We mentioned before about Dr. Elizabeth Garrett Anderson, and she's completely real, very much one of the first surgeons or doctors of London. So they normally have that those info boards up.
Now tell me, has the street opened up a bit now that the apartments across the road aren't being built? They're now occupied. Does that mean that parking's a little bit easier on the street now?
Now that the street isn't half closed, you don't have to worry about concrete dust getting all over your car. That's a nice bonus.
Yeah.
But the spaces are limited, so I would recommend getting there early.
A little bit early,
To make sure you've got a spot.
I would also encourage people that maybe don't have transport to remember that the Dolphin Theatre is quite close to the train station in Onehunga, and there's some beautiful places to eat beforehand. So, you know, the Dolphin Theatre is a great area in Onehunga to go have something to eat, go a little bit early, like you said, park your car, or walk along from the train station. You know, it's not, and you don't have to pay $12 to $20 to park in the Civic and drive round and round in a concrete jungle to try and get a car park. So
give yourself some time. Yeah. Go to Dressmart.
There you go.
Get some shopping in.
Definitely. Well, we wish you all the best for the season. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
100%.
I think we're all seeing it at some point. So, all the best.
Thank you.
We look forward to hearing what happens next for
you
both.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
No worries at all. Now, we've got some bulletins to read out for things that are upcoming, because we've got a few minutes left. Let me check where Stephen's put them. I hope Stephen's still chilling out in bed this evening. So, Silo Theatre presents Aotearoa's premiere of Broadway phenomenal Job by Max Wolf Fredericks in September at Q Loft. It's got a beautiful publicity photo that says so much just in that. So directed by Shane Bosser and starring Stephen Lovett and Olivia Tennant, this razor-sharp two-hander has become one of the most talked-about plays of recent years, sending audiences into late-night Google spirals, Reddit rabbit holes, and endless decoding. So check that out. So that is Job. It's an 80 minutes of pure tension. Slick, cleverly crafted drop tower ride. Put on by Silo Theatre. And 3rd to the 20th of September at Q Loft. Now, dazzling, daring, Sorry, just trying to find it. There we go. Sorry. Dazzling, daring, dangerous, cabaret, full cast has been announced and the photos are phenomenal. So this is Cabaret, the musical at the Kit Kat Club. Very well known piece. So 60 years after it first premiered and redefined the genre, Cabaret returns to Auckland in a bold new production, marking two major milestones, the 60th anniversary of the iconic musical and the 10th anniversary of ASB's Waterfront Theatre. Can you believe that Waterfront's been there for 10 years?
I can't believe that.
That's like, it does not feel that long.
Mm.
So Auckland's Theatre Company and Auckland Live presents Cabaret at the ASB Waterfront Theatre from the 22nd of September to the 18th of October. Now, this is one not to be missed, starring Naomi Cohen, who was in last year's touring production of Chicago, and most recently in Anne Juliet, is playing Sally Bowles. Matu, who recently was in Anne Juliet as Shakespeare, he was also Shakespeare at the Court Theatre Something Rotten, and he's been in Hamilton and The Lion King, is playing the MC. And there is just a crazy lineup: Susan Brady, Jonathan Martin, Hilary Mulder, Stephen Ray, Justin Rogers. Just amazing. So, directed by Benjamin Kilby Henson, this, like I said, don't wait. Book now. I think it's going to be a seller, and I'm so excited, so excited. So that was 22nd of September to the 18th of October. Now, tell me, have you got a busy week, Chris, coming ahead?
I don't, not this week. So, like I said, I just got tickets with my friend Anna. Hi, Anna, to see The Stranger on Friday, and then, like I said, the week after, I do a double with Miss Holmes and with Alice in Wonderland. So that will be an incredible lineup. And then I'm sticking an 80s show in there somewhere. There's always a good 80s cover band playing. So it'll be a busy week. What about you? Where are you going?
Well, on Wednesday, I head to Melbourne for the Junior Theatre Celebration run by Junior Theatre Festival Australia. And I'm adjudicating as well as teaching professional development in musical theatre over there. So, but I'm back on Sunday in time to come into the radio. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm hoping to get to see Six in Melbourne, which of course opened this week and has a Kiwi actor, Gina Hutton, is one of the swings. She's the winner in the gorgeous teal swing outfit.
Mm.
So really hoping to get along to see that while I'm over there.
Did you see that when it was here?
Oh, I sure did.
I didn't see it because we didn't really know about it. So I'm like, it wasn't something that I was familiar with. So I thought, oh, if I have to pick and choose, and I regret it.
Yeah,
so I hope you get to see it. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it again.
And hopefully it's not one that the poor Australians get shut down on, I have to say. I mean, it's been really sad to read about everything that's going on in Australia, but actually, more to the point, it's been really sad to hear about the funding that's come out from Creative New Zealand and the cuts there. And so many theatre companies, The Basement, Massive Theatre Company, all of these companies who have had a massive cut in their funding. Mm. So I'm just going to really challenge our listeners to get out and support theatre. Don't wait until the show opens to book your ticket. Let the producers know that the tickets are going to sell. I know it doesn't get any cheaper or anything like that. There's no reason to book all early, but I think we need to get back into being organized and booking early.
Yeah, and taking a chance. Like, this is being, like, helping you and Stephen out and being your sidekick has really encouraged me to go see things that I wouldn't necessarily see, or not even do the research, just like book a ticket and then let myself be dazzled and surprised in every single time I have been. So I would say even if you don't know about it, take a chance. Like, I saw Anne Juliet and then I went back. I think I saw it three times because I loved it so much. So
there we go.
Yeah, stretch yourself.
Love it. Okay, well, it's time for us to end this evening. I hope you all have a fabulous week. Go out there and
kick some arts.
And we're ending tonight, I should have said before that, with Mohi with Tanifa.
G, I'm a Tanifa. T-Nana on the line for my kappa. Fuck a papa, run strong, kua raka. Raka temo, rime te kato. When it's game day, G, I'm a Tanifa. T-Nana on the line for my kappa. Fuck a papa, run strong, kua raka. Raka temo, rime te kato. The alarm goes off, but I'm already up. It's game day, cause it's Saturday morning. Got my head gear on and my cleats in the back of the Hyundai. I'm a wee big scared every weekend. Need the energy here for the defense, cause you know we the best, better than the rest. It's a new season, we chiefin'. When it's game day, G, I'm a tiny fan. Team on the line for my cup. When it's game day, G, I'm a tiny fan. When it's game day, G, I'm a tiny fan. Turn the TV on and the bass real loud. Now I'm looking at the stars on the ceiling. Matariki goes nakati a whole new year chasing the same feeling. Hiko hiko, hiko hiko, te uiraka. Hiko hiko, hiko hiko, hiko hiko, te uiraka. Hiko hiko. When it's game day, G, I'm a talifa. T-Nana on the line for my kappa. Fuck up a run strong, kua raka. Raka temo, we mete kata. When it's game day, G, I'm a tanifa. T-Nana on the line for my kappa. Fuck up a balance, strong to a rata. Raka te maui me te kato. Let me hear you say.
Stars saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art.